You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
9:34 Central African Time, the time of the evening when our slot begins. Yes, it's a travel express, and when Ibrahim Badacha joins us, an astute travel agent, someone that has stood the test of time, and alhamdulillah is also with the Durban Tourism and advising many other travel agencies throughout the world. Ibrahim Badacha, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and tell us how you're doing this fine, a beautiful Tuesday evening.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and our listeners, brother Shafat. Alhamdulillah, I am fine and I am well. And it's hard to believe that a week has gone by so quickly.
You know, Ibrahim, you can say that again. It's like a blink of an eye, and we're just going program upon program, and, you know, alhamdulillah, the barakah is flowing. But it really is frightening how the days are flying. I mean, I know when we were growing up, it was like we had to wait for a couple of years for Friday to come on, Ibrahim.
Yeah, that took, well, come the end times, you know, it's been said by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the days will go flying by even faster, and we are in that phase of time right now, so it is not surprising in any way whatsoever. It's just that we've got to seize it and make the most of it, or you will forever be at a loss.
Absolutely, Ibrahim. Looking at our topics this evening, the Brits returning from South Africa must pay 35,000 rand for quarantine hotel, face jail for lying about the trip. 10 days in quarantine will cost them quite a bit of money returning from the UK. Your thoughts on that, Ibrahim?
I really don't know what to say here, Brother Shafat, but it seems like the UK government is looking to make easy money out of the returning citizens. That's just off the top of my head. But, yeah, just to get into stuck into the subject, this will come in, came into effect, sorry, yesterday. It was Monday, the 15th of February. All travelers who are coming out of South Africa will have to pay a mandatory quarantine day for 10 days at around 3,500 rands a day. So come the end of the 10 day, you're going to be out of pocket for 35 grand. That's the size of it. And building up on that, the UK has tightened its travel restriction and has compiled what they call a red list, which of course includes South Africa because of our variant strain of the COVID virus, which they claim is prevalent. And they are imposing mandatory quarantine for returning residents. And Matt Hancock, who is their minister in charge, the UK's health secretary, right, he maintains that the costs associated with this 10-day quarantine will need to be covered by the traveler. And to make things worse, if you go about trying to mislead the authorities to avoid self-isolation, then you could even lead, it could even lead to serious jail time for you. And if you are found lying as to where your point of origin was, whether you had either transited South Africa in the last 10 days or had been in South Africa, and you get caught out, then you could be fined £10,000, which translates to about 203,000 rand of our money, and or up to 10 years in prison. So that's the side of it at the moment, Brother Shafat. It is quite scary, but at the moment, the only travelers that are currently permitted to enter the UK from South Africa and some 32 other countries that are confined to the red list, the British and Irish nationals or third country nationals with residence rights in the UK, they will be allowed to return but must submit a series of stringent COVID-19 protocols. So it is very difficult, and what makes it worse is that you will have to have a negative COVID-19 test result within 72 hours of your departure from your point of arrival in the UK. So that means it's cutting things rather fine, and your payment has got to be made before you even board from your point of origin. So it's a very, very stringent and an onerous responsibility that people are going to have to put up with if they are going to be wanting to return from South Africa to the United Kingdom. And having said this, these quarantine, which they so politely refer to, you know, the British have a way with words, as always. Basically, it includes government transportation from whichever airport you might land into to the official quarantine site that's located there, either nearby or conveniently to your point of arrival. It includes accommodation in a government-approved facility. It also food and drinks while you are in quarantine. And you have two follow-up courtesy visits from security and welfare personnel to basically observe what your condition of health is like. And like I said earlier, this package will cost you for the 10 days in quarantine, 35,000 rand per person. Altogether,
now, Ibrahim, some 16 moving from a dreary, you know, murky, cloudy, rainy, cold Britain, from the cold bricks to the pompous queen. You know, she's having a cucumber sandwich and going to somewhere where we're going is going to be very spicy. We uncover the mysteries of the spicy city. Let's run away from Britain and let's get into the spicy city. Tell us about it, Ibrahim.
Besides, we don't have that kind of money to talk about. So, the spicy city which they're referring to is, of course, our very own wonderful, popular, and ever-beautiful city of Durban, known for its lovely warm water beaches and blue flag beaches, bless, and everything that you could even imagine, including the good weather, is here in Durban for all. I'm sure that most listeners will be knowledgeable, if not have not experienced most of what Durban has to offer as locals. But there are certain things that have sprung up recently. In fact, I can name just off the top of my head at least five expected things that one can see and do on the next visit, be it to someone from out of town or out of the province, or anywhere else that they might. The first one is Durban's underground skate scene. This is a project that has been set up by a non-profit company called Indigo Youth Movement. And their aim is to create safe spaces for the local youth and to offer them an initiative to and access to mentors, skate boarding programs, and promote well-being for our South African youth. And they've got venues where they have experts that will coach them and teach them. And the whole idea, I think, is to get the children that would otherwise be left to their own devices into groups where they can be mentored and taught and shown, basically, that the better way to approaching life and being the best that they could be. So that's the whole theme behind this thing. And I think why they went this route with the skateboard is it's popular amongst the younger generation. And it appeals to them. And it's a surefire way of getting them together. Moving on from that, we have what we call a taste of Durban culture. And it would be a sin, really, if we visited Durban and very vibrant tapestry of cultures that not explore that. One should take full advantage and soak up the full splendor of our prominent Zulu and, of course, Indian cultures that define the Durban experience as such. A quick visit to the Phansi Museum in Biria. It allows one to look at local cultural artwork hosted in the 19th century home of none other than Esther Roberts, one of South Africa's first female anthropologists. And here you'll find woodcrafted utensils, beadwork, dolls, and just about everything, including the traditional Zulu pots. And you can stop by, of course, in Durban Central, where you can give your taste buds, you know, a zinging experience at Victoria Street Market. And you can buy all the spices and browse through the garment store that sell everything from Indian jewelry to traditional Zulu clothing, and enjoy whatever mouth-watering food there is. Moving on, you have the Durban art scene at the museums, and Durban Art Gallery, of course, is a trendy gallery with African art culture. Then there's a bath center that's near the yacht mall, the marina, what we know it as. And all these galleries offer, yes, an authentic sort of KZN art and craft experience with all the exhibits from local artists. And for those who like more outdoors and adventure, they can go to the Outer West in Durban, more like Botha's Hill, where there's a Zulu Safari Park, where you can come face to face with a whole range of game and wildlife animals, from zebras to crocodiles and everything in between. They have lovely guided tours in 4x4 vehicles. There's hiking trails, Sedgeway tours, and this is in and around the Valley of a Thousand Hills area, which is a very, very beautiful part of KZN per se. They also offer luxurious accommodation for those wanting to stay over. And lastly but not least is, of course, Durban Mini Town. I'm not sure if you went there, Brother Shafak.
Many times, Ibrahim. Yes, I was just recalling my school excursion, the Durban Harbour, the museum, Mini Town. All these places, you know, the City Hall too.
Absolutely. And it's a good draw card to this very day, Shafak, where it's good for the family, you know, the adults and kids, just to look at, you know, to feel like a giant and look at Durban in its miniature state. It is very, very much true to form. And then there's a nearby ice skating rink, and of course, Ushaka Marine and Moses Mabhida. If you're looking for family fun, you've got more than enough to keep you happy.
Yeah, and what I used to like, Ibrahim, was the boat. The boat ride was something around the harbour. Was it the Santa Maria that boat? Is it still in operation?
So you might most probably talk about the Sari Mare, if I'm not mistaken.
Sari Mare, sorry. Not the Santa Maria, Sari Mare.
Look, I think it might still be operating, but I do believe that there are other boats that you can charter out and take you out on a sunset cruise and things like that. So, yeah, there are quite a few operators that are catering to the need for those that are wanting to go out just behind the breakers and have a beautiful view you wouldn't otherwise get necessarily of Durban, you know, looking at it from out there at sea. So, yeah, that's quite popular. And most of the cruises leave from around the yacht mall, around the Wilson's Wharf. And they are relatively inexpensive, so it's worthwhile looking at as well.
Yes, Ibrahim, I've got a friend of mine who owns a 18-foot yacht and, has two boats in the yacht mall, Adam Camda. So he's keeps on telling me, come. I think I'll take you, inshallah, after COVID. You and I will go onto that yacht and go beyond the breakers.
Inshallah. It would be a good experience. It would be indeed.
Inshallah. And are you good at fishing, Ibrahim?
Well, I'm not a avid fisherman as such. I mean, I've gone fishing with friends and things over the years, but I quite like it. You know, it gives you time to contemplate and get your mind out of everyday issues that will otherwise, you know, cause all sorts of worries and things that you can do without.
Absolutely. Yes, inshallah, we'll try and make a plan there. Well, Ibrahim, it's goodbye, Greyhound, but there are still plenty of cheap, long-distance travel options in South Africa. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's a sad day. In fact, Sunday, with the 14th of February, 2021, saw the final shutdown, closure, demise of Greyhound, a bus service that was running the length and breadth of South Africa and serving the neighboring states as well. They finally had to close down because of waning revenue in recent years. And of course, the COVID pandemic was the final nail in the coffin. with this travel restriction, it was just too much for them to bear. And they announced that despite many attempts at restructuring the company and doing just about every cost-saving initiative they could dream of, and it wasn't making sense in the sense that the operation was no longer financially viable. Having said that, they took the painful decision of closing down the company per se. Having said that, it's unlikely, the closure is it's unlikely to leave stranded because there are quite a few options with other long-distance bus operators, taxis, trains, believe it or not. And, of course, domestic airlines that are ready and waiting to fill the void. And it would come as a, you know, a windfall for these companies because, obviously, Greyhound commanded a very big share of the interprovincial and regional travel market. So there are other bus companies which offer cheaper fares, maybe superior or lesser service levels. There are companies like Intercape that comes to mind readily. There's also Cityliner and a few others like, I know, Aldo Coaches, City to City, and maybe Eagle Liner amongst the other players in that field. And in addition, there are a host of long-distance taxi services that serve isolated communities within the province and nationally as well. And whilst they are a little bit more expensive than buses on the major intercity routes, they offer a more convenient and direct intra-provincial option. And for those who don't have the luxury of time on hand and don't like sitting in a bus or taxi for that matter, there's a low-cost airline called FlySafe. And it's only a little bit more expensive on popular, but it saves you hours of travel time, especially if you're looking at taking a trip from Durban to Johannesburg by bus. It could be anything from, say, 6, 7, maybe 8 hours, depending on the number of stops you make on route. Whereas with FlySafe, allowing for COVID and extended check-in times and all that, flying time is about 1 hour, 10 minutes, to which you can add another few hours, but you still come out feeling more comfortable and ready to do what you want at the destination. So that is the case with the Greyhound, unfortunately. And I know that the workers are locked in a battle with Unitrans, which is the old holding company of Greyhound and Cityliner. They've taken their case to the CCMA, of course, saying that the retrenchment process has been flawed. So they'll try and drag things out, but if there's no money to run the operation, there's just no money, and irrespective of which way the CCMA ruled on this thing, it's highly unlikely that they're going to resurrect the service, not by any stretch of the imagination. So that's where we stand right now.
With the Greyhound, yes, it's that's the history of Greyhound, Ibrahim. Yes, we're getting into open discussion time where we'll be identifying the fake from the genuine in the travel industry. And if you have any questions for us, you can text us on 0847863132, 0847863132. Ibrahim, a very interesting question indeed, identifying the fake from the genuine. And I think that's important in the travel industry. How do you do that, Ibrahim?
There's so many ways. Look, there's con artists and fraudsters in just about everywhere. And the more desperate the economic situation gets in any country or in any environment, the smarter these people come out with novel ways of getting unsuspecting people to part with their hard-earned money. So, yeah, there are lots of scamsters around. And in my time as being in the agencies, there were lots of people that were taken for rides by other unscrupulous agents and agencies. And if one is not wary, then one has oneself to blame, you know. Then you fair game for these people if the deal is too good to be true. Most times they say it normally is. So let's see. How do you stop, how do you spot a fake travel agency? Firstly, if you're a fraudster and you're running a false or phony operation, most times you will not have a physical office location. The reason being that if you have an office location, you can be tracked back to where you are as an officer in a particular district or area. They do this specifically that once they take you for your money, then it's nearly impossible to track these people down when you've got no fixed abode, no fixed office. And these people normally operate on the internet, or they choose to meet you at a coffee shop or restaurant or something. And whilst they may have an online presence, they will shy away every time from having a physical operation as such, meaning genuine travel offers. Another one is that if you are going to be dealing with any particular travel agent, and it's important that you look around if they do have any sort of office per se, or working out of house or wherever, then you must ask them for what accreditation do they have. Are they a bona fide IATA travel agency that can issue its own ticket and has a license and a guarantee with IATA, the ruling governing body of air transport globally? Or are they locally affiliated to someone like ASATA or any other reputable travel body? If they aren't, then it's best that you steer clear. If they can show you documents to prove that, then perhaps you can go further with them. But if they can't, stay clear of them. And like I said earlier, they make very tempting and mouth-watering deals available to unsuspecting travelers. Mm. And the rule of thumb is if the deal sounds too good to be true, it most probably is. So as much as you'd like to go to Dubai or Mumbai or wherever else on earth at an absurd or ridiculously low price, it's not going to happen, because if that was real, then everybody would be selling it at the same price, not just them. Another way you can catch these guys out is by checking for customer reviews to see if they've got a decent website that is operating, and check if there's reviews on the company that one can look at, being basically experience of previous or existing customers from this company. And then you check out what their mode of operation is. And if they start encouraging you to take shortcuts and things like that and tell you, oh, I can do this and you can beat the immigration checkpoint and this, that, and the other, try and shortcut the situation or circumstances, then stay away from them, because no genuine travel agency will do anything that is dubious or dealing that are going to be circumventing established norms and rules. Another way you can catch them is they have fake websites, and they even pay people to give false reviews. So one has to be very diligent and pay attention to all these details and make sure that you don't ever commit your money unless you know that you've checked out every facet of the operation and you satisfied yourself that, yeah, these guys are on the level and you can trust them. Now, one mustn't be shy. It's your money at the end of the day, and you have every right to question whoever you're dealing with and ask the agency to provide you with whatever facts and details and things like that. And before you sign, everyone's got terms and conditions and things like that that you need to follow up with. So carry out an in-depth research. Beware of shortcuts. And don't let them con you into applying for a visa, because that's the simplest way. They know that you are hard up for a visa. Your circumstances haven't changed so far as why your last visa might have been refused, but they will promise you heaven and earth and tell you, don't worry, just give us some money, we'll sort this thing out. There's no way. All they're interested in is your money. And they refuse to communicate with you via emails and social media, WhatsApp, where you can store and retrieve conversations, per se, you must know that they are not bona fide. I could go on, but Shafat, yeah. I don't know how we're doing for time.
Yeah, I think we are just out of time because that Uber is there. But I tell you, Ibrahim, you were brilliant there. Absolutely brilliant. And you put everything to perspective. And I can tell you, listeners were listening very intently to you. You know, inshallah, I'm giving you 5 seconds to end off. Your parting words.
Well, parting words basically is just staying on that subject. It's just avoid fake agencies. There are lots and lots of reputable agents that are still out there. Even though COVID has seen the demise of many household names, basically I say trust your gut, meaning go with your instincts. If you feel uncomfortable and think you'd rather leave them and go somewhere else, that's my advice to the people out there insofar as choosing your travel agent. Other than that, all I can say is it's been an absolute pleasure being with you on air, Brother Shafat, and of course our listeners. And I thank you, and I thank Allah, of course, for giving me the life and time and ability to do this with you. So thank you very much, and assalamu alaikum to all.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Ibrahim Vadacha. Absolute, treat to have him on air.